cleaning up your Mac, moving to an iCloud life, Lion 10.7.5, 3 million mountain lions, Twitter's bad decision, and the Hobbit trilogy. It's Tuesday, July 31st, 2012, and this is iWake. I'm Tim Chapton, and this is what's going on in the Apple world today. Good morning, and welcome to another edition of iWake. Kicking off the show today, I want to talk a bit about cleaning off your Mac. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, getting out the Windex or anything. I'm talking about basically getting the hard drive cleaned up of those old apps you no longer use. I normally do this during a major OS release, which just happened. In this case, I did this after I updated. The tool I use to do all this is AppZapper. It's an app that costs around $13. It's found at appzapper.com. The startling thing this time around with doing this spring cleaning, so to speak, is just how few third-party apps I still use. There are the staples that I used to do this show, like Evernote, RapidWeaver, and Feeder, but the list of third-party apps is in near single digits these days. This I found odd, as I thought, you know, I'm a power user and have all sorts of fancy apps, but I'm finding that, yes, I use the built-in apps more than anything else. The majority of the apps are that I do use, besides those, are add-on apps that come from Apple, other first-party apps such as iLife, iWork, and the Final Cut Pro Suite. These are all first-party apps that may not be bundled into the system, but really aren't third-party apps. It is an odd thing that I didn't think would happen, but did. Anyways, I'd highly encourage you to clean out your old apps and plugins that you no longer use. Your hard drive will thank you, as will your brain. Besides cleaning out my apps, I also, before doing the show today, made the decision to move my documents to iCloud today. I went through my entire hard drive. The only thing that remains is my Dropbox folder. And I basically found the PDFs, iWork files, text files, images, and put them in their new home inside of iCloud. So for text files, I started by moving everything to text edit. For PDFs and images, I moved everything to preview, and iWork files went into their new respectable homes. The end result is a Mac that has a very, very empty Finder. The cool thing is the All My Files feature found in the Finder still shows the iCloud files because it's still on your hard drive and it knows about them. The realization I had doing all this is that the hidden feature in iOS 6 is that Apple will create text edit and preview for iOS. If they're not doing it this fall for iOS 6, I'd imagine it will be a staple of iOS 7 and part of the new built-in apps that make this experience all the more better. The more Apple promotes preview and text edit by adding iCloud, the more and more I see it as a must-have app for iOS. If Apple wants people using first-party apps like text edit, they're going to do this. Otherwise, people will move to the App Store or towards third-party solutions, which is not a terrible thing, but something I think they'd prefer them not doing. The document syncing, of course, does work with apps with the text edit and the preview if you have multiple Macs. So say you have a work Mac and a home Mac, you would have that working. Safari cloud syncing also works if you have multiple Macs. It'll be even more useful when it comes to iOS 6 this fall. Anyways, I do see a feature for these apps in iOS. I'll be talking throughout this week on alternatives to those apps that work on iOS today. So if you want text editing on your iOS device, if you want the preview type stuff on iOS, I'll be going through all of that this week, so stay tuned. Now on to some actual news type stuff. First up is Apple announcing some Mountain Lion download numbers. Apple announced that downloads of Mountain Lion have exceeded 3 million copies in just 4 days, making it the most successful OS X release in Apple's history. This is not unexpected news, but good to hear. Last year, Apple announced 1 million downloads within 24 hours, and this seems to have around the same success as Lion did last year. I'd imagine adoption picks up even more than Lion did with its new price point and more favorable reviews. The other Mountain Lion thing I want to talk about today is the annoyance of Twitter's notifications in Mountain Lion. Twitter decided to link to their website for notifications, which makes you log in every single time, rather than the App Store app. I'm hoping Apple pressures the company to update their Mac app and get their act together. When I get a notification, I don't want to open Safari. I want to open an app. Come on, Twitter. You really are better than this. In other news is a rather big piece of news about the Steve Jobs notes and audio tapes taken by Walter Isaacson, and the fact that they will remain under lock and key. 2AW notes that during the ebook price-fixing lawsuit, lawyers for the plaintiffs have requested access to Steve Jobs biographer's Walter Isaacson's private notes from his interviews with Jobs, but the judge in this case has ruled that Isaacson doesn't need to comply. I, for one, think these notes and recordings need to come out and be made available to anyone and everyone. They should be in the Library of Congress. They should be converted into digital formats that won't burn down in a fire like the ones Isaacson has. And if his house goes up in fire, we lose this precious information. These are historical documents that need protection. It looks like the interviews will remain locked up for now. Hopefully these documents can see the light of day soon enough. The last bit of Mac news today is that Lion is getting at least one more release. Apple ceded to registered developers a new build of OS X Lion, version 10.7.5. This new seed has a build number of 11G30. In addition to Lion, Apple also released a second beta of iCloud Control Panel for Windows. No new features are present in this new build, but Apple has asked developers to focus on graphics, performance, and quality. There are no known issues with this build. So there you go, 10.7.5. Tiger got the most updates, going up to 10.4.11. Last up today is official confirmation from Peter Jackson that the Hobbit films are now a trilogy. Two films are becoming three. Here is the unveiling from Peter Jackson's post on Facebook. It is only at the end of a shoot that you finally get the chance to sit down and have a look at the film you have made. Recently, Fran, Phil, and I did just this when we watched for the first time an early cut of the first movie and a large chunk of the second. We were really pleased with the way the story was coming together, in particular the strength of the characters and the cast who have brought them to life, all of which gave rise to a simple question. Do we take this chance to tell more of the tale? And the answer from our perspective as the filmmakers and as fans was an unreserved yes. We know how much the story of Bilbo Baggins, the wizard Gandalf, the dwarves of Eivor, the rise of Necromancer, and the battle of Dol Guldur will remain untold if we do not take this chance. The richness of the story of The Hobbit, as well as some of the related material and dependencies of The Lord of the Rings, allows us to tell the full story of the adventures of Bilbo Baggins and the part he played in the sometimes dangerous, but at all times exciting, history of Middle-earth. So, without further ado, and on behalf of New Line Cinema, Warner Brothers Pictures, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, Wingnut Films, and the entire cast and crew of the Hobbit films, I'd like to announce that two films will become three. It has been an unexpected journey indeed, and in the words of Professor Tolkien himself, a tale that grew in the telling. So that's that. I am a huge fan of Peter Jackson, including his early indie project in New Zealand. I think that by moving this to a trilogy, that the length of the films cannot now be more manageable and more kid-appropriate, and since The Hobbit is a kid's book, that this is a good thing. I personally love extended editions, but this may be Peter's way of doing the extended editions without having to really do extended editions. Anyways, exciting news for Hobbit fans. I'm really anxious to see how this will shake out. I do love the trilogy format, as evidenced by the success of the Dark Knight trilogy and many other trilogies out there. So a great format, and I'm excited to see The Hobbit take that format on. Well, that's what's going on in the Apple world today. If you like this show and you haven't had a chance, please review it in iTunes. Just search for iWake and review it. I did notice today some Canadian reviews in that version of the podcast store, so very cool stuff over there. Also, I do this thing called iWake Again. There's more information about this over at iawakepodcast.com/again. I had an episode go out last night, and I'm having a special edition go out midweek this week on Wednesday. So a bonus episode this week. that you can have access to by going to iWakePodcast.com/again. Join me tomorrow for another edition of iWake. Aloha.